From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. For the first couple hours tonight, emerging artist bumper music for you. And later on, will October 7th be the physical end of the world? Find out why one person thinks so. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let me tell you about our guest, Chris McCann, Bible teacher, president of eBible Fellowship Ministry. That's a not-for-profit organization. It's not affiliated with any specific church. Chris was on with us back about 4 years ago when we were reacting to Harold Camping talking about Judgment Day, which initially was going to be May 21st of 2011. And then that was pushed back to October. We're still here, but let's bring in Chris because he thinks things have changed. Chris, welcome back.
Yeah, hi, George. Thanks for having me back on your show.
My pleasure. Let's go back. Let's do a review. Harold Camping is no longer with us. He of course, has gone to the great outside there, up there.
Yes.
He talked about Judgment Day as May 21st, 2011. Lots of people quit their jobs. I think even your fellowship took out advertising, spent a lot of money telling people.
Yes.
It never happened.
It did not happen as we expected it to happen, but that's one of the reasons why I'm glad that I'm back on your show, because over the last few years we've been continuing to study the issue to find out why didn't it happen as we thought, and as we've continued to study the Bible on this question, we've discovered that it was actually Judgment Day as God had indicated it would be, or as the Bible, the evidence of the Bible was pointing to that date. And that's why we were proclaiming with confidence and certainty, May 21, 2011, Judgment Day. Well, we've discovered that the Bible continues to insist that it was the Day of Judgment, only it was not a physical judgment, but rather a spiritual judgment, as God shut the door of heaven on that day and ended his salvation program for the world.
Well, now, how did Camping get that wrong? Because he let everyone think it was going to be a physical judgment day, that millions would be gone, and it would be, you know, earthquakes, the rapture would be in full...
What happened? I can actually give you an example from the Bible that you and I think all the listeners will probably be familiar with. And that's the example of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And as it's clearly stated in the early chapters of Genesis, God said to Adam, in the day you eat of this tree, you will die. And I mean, direct statement, in the day you eat, you will die. And we know soon, Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the forbidden tree.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Did they die that day?
No, but they became immortal. They did not become immortal.
Well, they were immortal.
They
were created.
Yeah.
And they would have lived forever if they did not eat of the fruit of that tree in disobedience against God.
Right.
But I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that God did not say in the day you eat of that tree, you will die spiritually. He just said you will die. And Satan actually said to Eve, because she repeated that to him, you will not surely die. So any outward audience, if they're, I guess we're the outward audience as we read the account, hearing all that information presented would wait and see at the time that Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit to see them drop down dead physically, because that would be your expectation. And yet it didn't happen physically. And you see, I'm trying to just let you know that the Bible is not easy to determine at all times if God is indicating there's a spiritual judgment in view or an actual physical judgment. And we were wrong. I wouldn't say just Mr. Camping, because a lot of people checked out what he was teaching.
Sure. I mean, you thought this was going to happen, too.
Oh, yeah. I was fully confident it would take place. And so I don't blame him, because it's everyone's responsibility. You know, when we hear something taught from any kind of Bible teacher or priest or pastor, it's our responsibility to check it out. And I did that, and I confirmed it myself. So it wasn't Mr. Camping that was wrong. It was me who was wrong. That's how I look at it, and I think that's how everyone should look at it. Nobody should actually just believe and follow what another person says.
Okay, but then I remember, though, Chris, then he moved from the May date, he moved it to October 21st of 2011, and that didn't happen either. So, I mean, he basically got it wrong twice.
Well, it wasn't as well known, because the billboards all said May 21, 2011, but the teaching for years leading up to that was that Judgment Day would begin on May 21 and conclude on October 21, that there was to be a physical manifestation, the earthquakes, and the world would become basically hell on earth for 5 months.
Well, it's that way in some spots.
Date, huh. I'm sorry, George?
It is hell on earth in some spots.
Oh, yeah. Things are getting very bad today, and I think that fits in with what God did on May 21, 2011. God is presently punishing the world, and yet God is such a good God and gracious that even his wrath, even his punishment is fairly gentle, considering what we deserve. God shut the door of heaven, ending his salvation program on the day he told the world he would, but he did it in a spiritual way, which means an invisible way, and so nobody noticed, and just as no one knew when the door to heaven was open, you couldn't see it, and likewise now you cannot see that it's shut.
Now, do you think Harold Camping was duped, that he was wrong, we know he was wrong, but do you think he was duped or that he did it on purpose?
Oh, no. Harold Camping is...
I didn't know the guy. Maybe you did.
Oh, he was incredibly faithful. I mean, you hear all these things since that date has come and gone, but you hear a lot of it from the church, because the churches hate him. And the reason the churches hate him is because he taught the church age was over for years up until that point of May 21, and he was teaching from the Bible, because this was information coming from the Bible, that God ended the church age, that God no longer wanted his people to go to church because of their unfaithfulness, and they were to come out of the churches and basically go to the Bible alone. And so the church has long despised Mr. Camping and Family Radio for teaching that, and so they've sort of pounced at the opportunity of labeling him a false prophet and so forth. But he's probably the most faithful man that concerning the Bible that's been around for decades. And you have to keep in mind that Mr. Camping never took a dime. He owned a construction company in the late 50s, and he sold it, and he lived off the profits the entire 40 or 50-year period that he was on Family Radio. And he never took a dime from the money that was sent into the station.
How much money, though, did people clean out of their bank accounts, do you think, in order, because they were panicking about Judgment Day?
Well, we're people, and of course we're very concerned about money and our finances, and that's what makes the world go around. But you know, the Bible, God says that when when he comes into a person's life and he saves a person, that we are no longer our own. We're bought with a price. And he tells, this is the words of Christ, the words of the Bible, are to take up your cross and follow me and offer up your body as a living sacrifice. And that's what we should be doing normally throughout any period of time in the history of the world. The child of God should be living a life of sacrifice, a life where he works and he provides for his family, he pays the bills, but, you know, what can I do to further the gospel, to further the sending forth of the word of God? And that would be the typical mindset of the child of God. And so the worldwide campaign of proclaiming May 21, 2011 basically gave an opportunity to people to live as we should have lived all along. And it was the motivation, yes, for some people. Hey, Judgment Day is coming, and that makes you stop and think, how am I living my life? What am I doing with my life? And what's really important? And so people, you know, with that kind of realization, they start to think, I need to live more for Christ. I need to live more for God. And really, you know, I personally, I had a 401k that I cashed out in about 2008. And I lived off of the 401k for the next 3 years so I could devote more time to getting out the Word of God. And so my 401k is gone.
Did you feel duped?
I don't regret it. I mean, I'm thankful for the opportunity to have lived my life for a short period of time as I should live my life according to what the Bible says.
Did you have anybody follow up with you about the money they took out and either sent to camping or donated it to other organizations? But basically, did they feel like they were duped and were they upset? Did that feedback ever come back?
No, I've heard a couple of people maybe who were critical like that, but people I know who were seriously, you know, they're Bible students, and they checked out these things themselves, and again, the Bible student feels personal responsibility for everything that we agree with and follow, and so we make it our own. And I don't know anyone that I know of some people that are probably unhappy, but for the most part, the people I know are, they look back at that period of time as one of the best times in their life, that they went on mission trips, they went overseas. They spent more time locally in their neighborhoods and sharing the gospel with people. I think the benefits far outweigh any negatives.
We'll talk at the half about a new date and how that came about. But some experts in cults, for example, have said, Chris, that this was devastating for children who picked up on this from their parents, this fear of doomsday, and it was all over. Any reaction to that?
Well, yeah. First of all, it's Family Radio, Mr. Camping. It was far from being a cult. I mean, you have an individual on the radio that people didn't go to him. It wasn't like there was some sort of, a 1,000-acre place where everybody gathers.
It wasn't Waco.
Their lives. Excuse me?
It wasn't like Waco.
Yes. It's just individuals all over the country and all over the world in various walks of life that listened to the radio and finally heard truth. You know, that's the problem today, is that you can't find truth in the Catholic Church or in the Protestant Church. You can't find truth in the independent church or the house church, in any church. If if anyone goes into church today, I don't care what church they go into, and they sit down with their Bible, it won't be long before they find things taught contrary to what the Bible says. And so there's this spiritual wasteland that is all over the face of the earth today, because we're living at the time of the end, and that's one of the indicators of the end of the world, is Christ said there must be a falling away first, or an apostasy. And that is certainly in place. And so you have all kinds of people disillusioned with what's being taught in the churches, and yet they have an interest in God, they have an interest in the Bible, and they turn on their radio, and there was a voice, somebody letting them know the true condition of the churches, the church age is over, and get out of the church because they're not teaching the truth.
Yeah, but then he gave them false dates.
Well, no, what he did was, you know, there was much that Mr. Camping taught. We're talking about he's gone through probably every book in the Bible, and many of the books verse by verse. So there's an incredible amount of teaching that Mr. Camping taught, including over the last few years the information about the end of the world and Judgment Day, and again. The date, what the world primarily heard was May 21, 2011, Judgment Day.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, I mean,
we're finding today is that was correct.
But I mean, even your organization thought it was a physical Judgment Day because you took out billboards all over the place.
Oh yeah, we were involved in that to a great deal, but the billboards did not say anything about an earthquake. They said May 21, 2011, Judgment Day. That was the primary message that was broadcast, and I'd say 90 to 95% of the time. It was when we tried to get into the details and going on your show or mm-hmm. or things like that, and people say, well, what's going to happen? It's going to be a physical great earthquake. And the Bible does use the language of a great earthquake, but we didn't understand the spiritual nature of the judgment. And that's why I was trying to use that example in the beginning. An outward observer hearing God say to Adam, in the day you eat, you will die. And then Adam eats of the fruit of the tree, and you're watching, waiting for him to drop down dead, and yet he lives to the age of 930, and he didn't die physically. So the statement, though, in the day you eat, you will die, could be interpreted either way, physically or spiritually. God wasn't specific. And that's exactly what God did concerning the opening up of this information about Judgment Day. We thought it would be physical, and we were incorrect. We were wrong. It actually turned out to be spiritual judgment that took place, and, of course, man can't see a spiritual judgment. It's invisible.
All right, stay with us, Chris. We're going to take this break. We're going to come back in a moment and talk about another date, and I want to get your take on it, where it came from and what could happen on this date. In our final hour here on Coast to Coast AM, we're going to obviously take phone calls with Chris McCann. His website, ebiblefellowship.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, Chris McCann with us. He is the president of eBible Fellowship Ministry, and we are talking about Judgment Day. Chris, tell us what physical Judgment Day means to all of us. What is that?
Well, first of all, as I mentioned before, Judgment Day actually has begun May 21, according to the Bible. May 21, 2011 was the beginning of a prolonged period of judgment, and God views this prolonged period of time, we're about four, almost approaching 4 years since then.
That's right.
But the way God speaks of it is as a single day, Judgment Day, just as he spoke of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, and he said it was the day of temptation, and yet they wandered for 40 years. So God likens Judgment Day to a single day, but it actually encompasses a prolonged period of time that very likely, and we're not saying this in absolute terms, but we're just sharing the biblical evidence that we found. There is a strong likelihood that Judgment Day will continue for 1,600 days from May 21, 2011, concluding on October 7th, 2015 this year. And the whole period would be known as Judgment Day. And the last day, if this is correct, if we're understanding everything properly, then the last day would be the physical, literal end of all things, and the destruction of this world, and the completion of everything that God has spoken of in the Bible.
So are you saying, if I'm hearing you right, October 7th, 2015 should be the actual physical end of the world?
Well, yes, we're trying to just lay it all out, lay out the biblical evidence, and the biblical evidence includes that God began judgment on the house of God. That's what 1 Peter 4:17 says. So judgment began May 21, 1988, continued for 23 exact years on the churches until May 21, 2011. That's where actually that date came from. It was the 23-year Great Tribulation period, the 23-year judgment on the churches, and that's what Mr. Camping was teaching for quite a while that got the churches upset with him. And then on May 21, 2011, it was to be the day of transition from the judgment on the church to now expand and include the unsaved people of the world. And so the 23-year period of judgment on the church worked out to be 8,400 days. May 21, 2011 was the 8,400th day. And we found from Revelation 14, verse 20, that God speaks or presents a number of 1,600 in the context of judgment. And 1,600 put together with 8,400 totals an even 10,000 days. And so October 7th, 2015 would be the 10,000th overall day of judgment since judgment began at the house of God. And now it would be, and 10 in the Bible points to completeness of whatever is in view. 10, like 10 virgins, or the woman who had 10 coins and lost one, 100 sheep, cattle upon 1,000 hills, multiples of 10, all spiritually represent completeness. And so for October 7th, 2015 to be the 10,000th day, it's a very strong candidate for God to complete the judgment that he started on the church and now has again grown to include the nations of the world.
Now, that's going to be a Wednesday. If we get you back on the air that day, Chris, and we're all still here, what are you going to say?
Well, all I can say is that what we're saying now is that we're looking ahead to that date. And all I can say is that we're referencing the Bible. It's not because I had a dream last night. It's not because of a vision or anything like that. We're studying the Bible, and the Bible is the Word of God. And God says in Isaiah 46, verse 10, that he declares the end from the beginning, which means, since the Bible is his declaration, that he has declared the end. And that's why he said to Daniel, who he gave much end time information to, he told him to seal up the word till the time of the end. And the implication is that it's been God's plan to hide information in the Bible until the point of the end of the world is reached, and then he opens up his declaration. He's declared the end. And so that's why we take it seriously, and that's why we present the biblical evidence, and we're sharing it, and we're presenting it, letting everyone know there is a lot of evidence and therefore a strong likelihood for this to take place.
Now, I was going to take the devil's advocate, but I guess that's a good phrase to use here.
Well,
so we won't use that. But again, though, what happens if we get to this date and we're still all here?
Well, all I can say is we keep looking to the Bible, because the Bible is the source of all truth concerning spiritual matters. And you know, just, George, when we look around at the world today, isn't the world ripe for judgment?
Of course.
When we see the increased sin of mankind.
Hatred,
when
everything.
We see the condition of the churches, and Christ spoke of a church that had fallen away before his coming. And all the things the Bible talks about, Israel being a nation again after being scattered for almost 2,000 years, is one of those indicators that the Bible speaks of Israel as a fig tree when the fig tree is in leaf. And so Israel's a nation, the church has fallen away, sin is multiplying like crazy across the face of the earth. Everything is in place, and the Bible does tell us that we should not love the world because the world passes away. So that's a biblical fact, that the world will pass away, and the indicators or signposts for that time are all in place. We're not missing anything according to what Christ spoke of in the Bible. And so when we see all these other things, like pieces of a puzzle all in place, and then we continue to search the Bible, and God lays out information through the framework of a biblical calendar that's on the pages of the Bible, well, then we can have a good expectation that this may be it.
Well, we will find out soon enough. It's not that far away.
No, it's not.
Some of the people in the past lost their homes, their possessions because of this, because of the missed judgment day in terms
of physical.
Well,
I don't know about people losing their homes. I've never met anyone who lost their home. Maybe there was someone out there. And you know how news reports are, if it happened to one person somewhere or if it got close, then the media picks up on it, and it's like 10,000 people did it, but I don't know a single individual that lost their home.
Where do we go from here? What do you recommend people do? If you're correct, and I suspect I'll be back broadcasting that day, Chris, but if you're correct, what do people do?
Well, you see, this is that's a good question, because this is the problem. Since God ended his salvation program on May 21, 2011, he saved everyone that he intended to save, all those whose names were recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life.
So he shut the book. The book's closed, right?
God got the book, and of course it's a figurative book. He doesn't need to write things down like we do to remember things. But that's the language God uses, that there's a book of life, and he recorded everyone to be saved. Before the foundation of the world, he knew of out of every generation who he would save and who he would not. And so he completed that salvation program, and he did it in a dramatic way by saving tens of millions of people. He saved the best for last. That's the indication of the Bible.
So
presently there are millions of people across the earth that God saved. But but the door is shut. And that's another reason why we're not speaking absolutely, and we're not trying to frighten anyone and get people to go to God because Judgment Day or the end of the world's coming. And the reason we're not trying to do that is because it wouldn't do any good. Everyone who is saved, and those that are not saved. Everyone's spiritual condition is fixed and established, and reacting to the news of Judgment Day, if an unsaved person were to take this seriously and try to go to God for salvation, there would be no salvation. And the reason we're just sharing this is that God did save scores of millions of people, and they heard the message from the Bible proclaimed loudly, May 21, 2011, Judgment Day, and then there was nothing.
Nothing.
It fizzled out. Apparently nothing happened. That's the evidence of our eyes.
True. And you can understand how people were suspect.
Oh, sure, sure. That's how the world operates on the physical level, the natural realm. And that's why there was, I think, a response to the idea of a physical, just regarding the nature of the judgment, we were off. And that doesn't change the fact that it was Judgment Day as it was shared.
Now, what's in the Bible that says the October 7th, 2015 physical end of the world?
Well, first of all, we know there is an end. You know, there's a proverb, Proverb 23, chapter 23, I think verse 18, that says, surely there is an end. And the world operates completely contrary to that kind of idea. And the world operates as though the world will continue forever. I think there is a deep down mindset in the people of the world that this world will go on forever, especially with evolution, you know, making claims that it's billions of years old. That's practically eternity. So it's almost as though the world thinks the world is eternal, just like a lot of people think that, even though people know it's not eternal, so too do a lot of people think that they basically are going to live forever. At least they recognize, oh, they're going to die at about 80, 90, 100 years old. But the way they live, it's as though they don't believe that, and that they are mortal, and there will come that day. So it's kind of why the world mocks and ridicules the whole idea of an end of the world, because they're deep down, there tends to be thinking that the world's going to go on forever and I'm going to live forever. And it's not the case. In both cases, it's not that way. The world will end one day, and each of our lives will end one day. And so God writes about that in the Bible. And he speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. And, thank God that there will be a time when this sin-cursed world will be destroyed. And we will not continue living in a world where there is such sorrow and death and disease, and all that will be...
You sound kind of euphoric that it's going to end.
Well, not euphoric, but the expectation for the believer is what? Eternal life and a new heaven and a new earth. So the person that God has had mercy on and God has saved, they're a sinner like anyone else and deserving of destruction like anybody else. But by God's grace, he saved an individual, and God has given that person eternal life where they will live in a new heaven and new earth forevermore. So the perspective of that individual, of course, is very different than the person who God has not saved. And this is it. You know, this is the whole package. This is the inheritance. However long I can squeeze, how much time I can squeeze out of this life, whatever pleasures I can get out of this life, well, that's it for the vast majority of people. But that's not the case for the individual that the Lord has bestowed his grace upon. That person does have a more positive view of death. You know, the Apostle Paul said to depart and be with Christ is far better than, yet is more needful that I stay here and minister the gospel to you, is basically what he said. To die is gain. I think it says in Philippians.
Well, the Bible also says no man knows the day or the hour. So how do we know October 7th, 2015 is it?
Well, George, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is the constant refrain from the church. And I remember in the time when the media was picking up this account, and they would give a report of maybe the caravan that was going around or something like that, or a billboard, and then they would always go to a church representative. They would go to the pastor or to the priest or to the seminary professor, and without fail, the church representative would assure the audience, and they would comfort the audience. Oh, don't worry about this. No man knows a day or hour.
Hold on, Chris. Let's let you finish that when we come right back. Plus, every phone line is just about lit. Oh, boy. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. The phones are lining up for you, Chris McCann, of course. But I want to get your take on Matthew 24:36, where he basically says, normally I never read from Scripture on the air, but he says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. So what's our take on that?
Well, as I was mentioning earlier, George, that was the constant quote from all church authorities.
Well, it's in the Bible.
And of course.
All right.
And yet we cannot read the Bible like our daily newspaper. We have to dig into the Bible, because God is hidden truth. And the word know there, as it says in Matthew 24:36, of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels, and in Mark 13:32 it adds neither the Son. The word know means has not experienced. Man, at the point that Christ was making that statement, had not yet experienced Judgment Day, which was being expressed by day and hour. That's how we all understand it. Like I'm mentioning the end of the world, Judgment Day, and people say, well, no man knows a day or hour, because they understand day and hour represents Judgment Day. And so no man has experienced Judgment Day at the point of this statement, neither the fallen angels, Satan and the demons are fallen angels, nor the Son, because Christ had not yet gone to the cross, where he would experience the wrath of God for the sin, in a demonstration for the sins of his people. And so it has nothing to do with intellectual knowledge, just as it was said of Joseph that he knew not Mary until she had brought forth her firstborn son, the Lord Jesus. Now, did it mean that he didn't know who Mary was? He had no idea who Mary was? No, of course he knew. He was engaged to her. But he did not know her in an intimate way until after Christ was born. So we have to be careful with the word know and how it's used in the Bible.
On October 7th, 2015, on or around, what do you expect to happen?
Well, again, we're presenting the biblical evidence, which we're letting people know there's a strong likelihood. We're not saying this in absolute terms, but the Bible describes vividly what will happen on the last day in 2 Peter 3. God says that the world and the whole universe will be burned up. It will melt with a fervent heat. The world is destroyed. The creation, which is tainted by sin, mankind, that never became saved. And then God recreates a new heaven and new earth. And then the focus from that point on is into eternity future.
Okay, now you did say, though, that there's a strong likelihood, so it sounds like you're leaving yourself another out, just in case.
Well, there is no need to use exclamation points. Prior to May 21, 2011, when God was still saving, it was necessary that there be a very certain sound that the people of the world hear, because there was time, it was the day of salvation, they could go to the Lord while he may be found. And that statement in Isaiah, while he may be found, implies there will be a time when he will not be found. And that's where we're living at now. So there's just no need to use exclamation points or speak in absolute way.
If the day, though, Chris, comes and goes, what do you say then?
Well, I think you mentioned this earlier, and I said that we'll just continue to study the Bible.
Well, I mean, will you come up with another date?
Study the Bible. Plan B is study the Bible. Keep looking to the Bible.
I mean, how many more dates, though, can you tell people before they say, oh, come on?
Well, again, a date is basically a doctrine, like marriage and divorce. That, or the Bible's teaching on salvation. Whatever the Bible says is a doctrine. Now, the good thing about a date, if it's incorrect and you go beyond that point, is that you have realization. Oh, I was wrong. Now I can go back to the Bible, try to find out where the mistake was to correct it. But, you know, the problem is, and this is where the churches reside, is that they have doctrine, erroneous doctrine, fixed in place for centuries, and nobody budges. And you know it, there's erroneous doctrine because churches teach contrary to one another. And somebody has to be wrong, yet it's established for hundreds of years. And they never get to the point of realization that this doctrine is incorrect and I have to make changes. And so it's not a bad thing at all if you can be shown that you were wrong. And then you just simply, okay, well, let me find out what was off and try to make correction. You can't, or the church, which should be doing that in every area, does not do that.
All right, let's go to the calls. They're lining up here for you, Chris. We'll pick it up by going to Dan in Montrose, New York, on the wild card line to get things started. Daniel, take it away.
We're taking my call, George Norrie, and you don't have to worry. October 7th will be here, and so all the other October 7th for the next many millenniums. The gentleman that you're speaking with is a false prophet. But you know what? That's the point is, the Bible has a lot of errors in it, and that's what people don't even talk about. Nobody wants to talk about that. The vein that people started veining at what particular age, such as like 8 years old or 18 years old, the amount of horses, 700 or 7,000, if the scriptures recounting the same story. And not only that, it talks about a lot of books in the Bible that it refers back to certain books that are not even in the scripture. And it mentions also about the end of the world, about they thought in the New Testament, they thought the end was going to be right there. The end is at hand, or things are to pass or draw up nigh. This don't sound like hundreds or even thousands of years. They really believed the end was going to happen in their lifetime. And then there's the accuracy of the Greek, the Textus Receptus, the Stephanus, the Erasmus. Nobody ever wants to talk about that. The Bible has errors in it. It's a lot of people are misinterpreting a lot of things because they're trying to, we're going down this road again. And I'd like to see a debate on coast to coast if you have some other people on the other side. That would be really great.
Well, maybe we'll do that on October 7th of 2015. But, Chris, he said you're a false prophet. You deserve your right to defend yourself. Go ahead.
Well,
if you want.
He said a lot of things. When someone says guarantees that we'll be here October 7th for millennium, that sort of proves what I was saying earlier, that deep down, man thinks this world is going to go on forever. And so, of course, if he hears someone speak seriously about the end of the world and referring to the Bible, he's not going to like that. Just the idea that the Bible is has errors the Word of God is the one thing in the world, the only thing in the original Hebrew and Greek, the only thing in this world that is pure and holy without a single error. And God says in Psalm 12 that he has preserved his word and kept it from this evil generation forever. So God assures us that his word, the Bible, in the original languages, is absolutely pure. We don't have to worry a bit about, somebody making a claim that the Bible has errors in its original text. It's not even in the realm of possibility.
Next up, we go to Mike in Vancouver, Washington. Thanks for calling, Mike. You're up and on the air with us.
Hey, yes, George. Great show this evening.
Thank you, Mike.
I just wanted to go back, if I could, to the Garden of Eden. We were talking about that a little earlier. Adam and Eve, I don't believe, were ever intended to live forever physically. And I think that's easy to understand when you consider the Genesis scripture. After Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord decided to kick them out of the garden, saying something to the effect, "Lest they eat from the tree of life and live forever." So they were never intended to live forever physically. Otherwise, they would have been welcome to eat from the tree of life. So I think that's the key to understanding that they were never intended to live forever physically. And the serpent was actually telling them the truth. As a matter of fact, everything the serpent said was the truth.
Chris, you want to react to that?
Well, yeah. When God created man, he created man good. And there was no death of any kind in the world, in man or in the animals. And if Adam and Eve would have continued in obedience, and God only gave one law, just one law, you shall not eat of the fruit of that one particular tree. Now, how many trees were in the Garden of Eden? How many trees on the earth? You know, multitudes of wonderful, beautiful trees. But as soon as God gives the law, and Satan took advantage of the law by deceiving Eve and speaking to her, because Satan wanted to be like God, and he made the claim to Eve that if you eat of the tree, God does know you'll be like him. And that's how man has been ever since. In our pride, we want to be like God. We want to be the determiner of our own path and so forth. And so that was the fall of man into sin and the point of death in our soul existence. And that's why the Bible speaks of being born again, because man is dead in sin from that point on, and there is a need of a resurrection of the soul, and that's what happens when an individual becomes born again. And by the way, that's an invisible thing too. Nobody can see the soul of another, and when someone becomes born again, they look no different than when they had a dead soul, because it's the invisible part of them. And so salvation is the first resurrection of the soul. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was really a figure of Christ. and God placed cherubim to guard the way of that tree, because with a flaming sword, that pictured that man must go through the wrath of God in order to reach the tree of life. And we do that in the person of Christ, as he suffered and died and experienced the wrath of God in the place of those that he saved.
Robert's with us now, Long Island, New York. Welcome to the program. Robert, you're on the air with us.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie.
Morning.
Good morning, Mr. McCann. I had called before, Mr. Norrie, about a week and a half ago. I received another date. I received a date of 4-11-2020, which is a very informative date. Please understand, 4-11-2020, our eyes will be opened. We will get information. We will be given further information, and the final judgment will be 9-11-2020. As 9-11-2001 was a warning for the battle of good and evil, 9-11-2020 will be it.
Okay.
Get off the rock. You ruined the rock. You ruined my earth. I cannot take it anymore. You left Mars. You went to the earth, and you ruined the earth also. Thank you for taking my call. I am so sorry if I offend anyone on this planet. Amen.
5 years away from that, I guess anybody can guess prophecy. Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello, Cornelius.
Hey, George, and hey, Chris. God bless y'all and Mr. Dave. Chris, I'm sorry you misleading these people. George knows I call. I believe in Bible prophecy and stuff. But giving these dates and stuff like that, giving these people falseness, all it's going to do is turn people against Christianity and stuff. And, George, you're right. Nobody knows the day or the hour. And I hope you have the four blood moon prophecy people on and stuff, because we're getting ready to the end. I mean, he's right about that. I think we're going to have a nuclear war within the next 2 or 3 years.
We might.
But I'm glad you're preparing us, George, by My Patriot Supply and stuff like that. But, Chris, you need to stop with these dates. Harold Campy went to his grave lying, and you can't have these date setters. They're going to make people too upset. So God bless you, George, and Chris. Y'all have a nice night.
Oh, there you go, Chris.
Well, again, a date is a doctrine, and the Bible is given for doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. And we are privileged to be able to check anything out in the Bible. That's what's so harmful about the church doctrine. It's not the Bible's doctrine, but the church doctrine, that we're not to investigate, we're not to look into the things concerning the end. It's remarkable when we consider how much Christ has said about the end of the world, and what for? Why did he tell us all this information in Matthew 24 or these many other chapters when we can't know anything? Well, it really makes no sense. And when he would make these statements concerning the end of the world, a constant statement was, watch, therefore. But the way the church today would have us to watch, it reminds me of F Troop, when they would put the lookout up in the tower who is blind. And that's the idea the church has. Yes, get up there and watch. As Christ said, watch for the signs of his coming. But just remember, you can't ever notice anything. You can't ever see anything. And if you do see something, make sure you do not blow the trumpet. It's ridiculous.
We may not have time for a call now, but we will when we come back after the break. Chris, and very quickly, tell us a little bit about E-Bible Fellowship. What is that?
Well, George, E-Bible Fellowship is a ministry of individuals that have banded together to share God's Word, primarily through the electronic medium. E stands for electronic. And we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on YouTube. There's a YouTube channel, and anyone typing in E-Bible Fellowship can find our pages, or go to the website. And we just desire to share the Bible. We don't direct people to church, as you can probably gather, since we believe also the church age is over. but we direct people to the Bible and only to the Bible.
All right, stick with us. We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with Chris McCann as we talk about this ominous date, October 7th, 2015. And, you know, most of the people who've called in do not believe that anything's going to happen on that date. What about you? We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. We're with Chris McCann, of course. We're talking about this date, October 7, 2015, and we will take your calls. Most civilizations, Chris, all thought that they were in end times. All of them, just about.
Well, perhaps, but, you know, the Bible does speak of an end of the world and give certain indicators that were never in place hundreds of years ago. Again, Israel being a nation in 1948 is one of the signposts, the increased wickedness of the world. I mean, we, those of us who are, you know, getting a little older, we can look back 40, 50 years, and the world of today is, there's just no comparison to how it was just a few decades ago. I mean, just look at homosexual marriage. Now, homosexuality, according to the Bible, is a sin like anything else is a sin that God says is a sin. You know, God gives the law, the Ten Commandments, and so there's numerous sins, and one of the sins the Bible speaks of is homosexuality.
All right, Chris, that's one topic we don't talk about on the show, okay?
Oh, okay.
Right? It's just something I never got into. It's something we just don't do. Your views are your views, and so be it with that. But let's
all
take
right,
some
George,
calls.
No problem.
Yeah, it's just not the show. Let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia, and Canada. Zoe on the international line. Zoe, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi,
Chris. I have 2 points, but I'd just like to preface with a little quote from the second letter of Peter in the Bible, Catholic Bible. It says here, St. Peter says, in these epistles there are certain things difficult to understand, which the unlearned and the unstable distort, just as they do the rest of the scriptures also to their own destruction. So he sort of warned about trying to do it, the exegesis, meaning the correct explanation of Scripture, is left to the Church. So my main point here is, and I'll take my answer off the air, is Matthew, I'll just use him, the Synoptic Gospels are all the same. This is chapter 24, verse 29. It says, but pardon me, immediately after the tribulation of those days, meaning the end of the world, sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then will all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. The angels send forth his angels. So everybody's going to see it. I mean, it's going to be unmistakable. It's not an interior hidden thing. My second point is that there's absolutely not a scrap of evidence for some interior slamming of the doors of heaven shut. The unfortunate thing is that Protestants and people who just concentrate on the Bible don't realize not everything's in the Bible. And for the first 350 years, there was no New Testament at all. And that's when Christianity had its greatest triumph over the Roman Empire. And Martin Luther was right when he said, I think it was 1,500 years later after Christ, he said, without the papists, we would have no Bible. And that's true. And the first book that was printed on the printing press by Gutenberg was, he was a Catholic, and with a Catholic Bible. So everybody would have had it after then. But the point is, the Church has never, ever taught that this is the end of the world, or it's not in Catholic dogma. So, you know, we just live our lives, we trust in God, and certainly he doesn't slam the door of heaven shut to anyone. He's open to everybody. While there's life, there's hope. That's how I'd like to end it.
Chris, what do you think of that? Thanks for the call, Zoe.
Well, she made several points that, you know, I would normally like to address, but I know time's short. And I think that basically she's trusting in the church and not the Bible. You know, God has laid down a methodology for coming to truth in the Bible, and it's through comparing Scripture with Scripture, and then it says the Holy Ghost teaches. And the authority at that point is the Bible itself, where God defines his own terms, and he develops his own doctrine. But what the church has done is placed itself, and the caller was actually presenting a good example of this, the Catholic Church or even the Protestant Church has placed itself over the Bible. We're the determiners of truth. We'll tell you what the right doctrine is. And that's why there's so many errors that they are not correcting. They're fixed in place, and if the Pope said it or the Bishop said it or the minister said it, it's got to be true. Well, no, I'm sorry. It's not the case. There's all kinds of people that are very nice people, and they're in places of authority within various churches, but they're not teaching the truth at all.
I'm marking down this date, Chris, October 7.
All right, George.
Let's go next to Cassie in Redding, California. Hi, Cassie. Thanks for holding. You're up. Cassie? Going once, going twice. Poor Cassie. She was on hold for 40 minutes, and she put her phone down and got it. Oh, well. Terry's in New Jersey, though. Terry, I bet you're with us. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, George.
Sure.
I am here, and we all will be here
Yay.
On that date, I will tell you. You know, he talks about indicators, but here are a few great indicators that have not yet happened. For instance, we will be... we are supposed to have a one-world government, and we're not even close to that now. Of course, there is globalization, so there is a movement towards this one-world government, but it's not here yet, and it's going to take a while. Second, there's going to be a false prophet and an antichrist who reigns over that one-world government, and they're not even on the scene yet. Plus, there will be the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem and the mark of the beast. None of that is here yet, and when that comes... the Antichrist is going to reign for 7 years, so we have at least 7 years left. I'd also like to make another point. He talks about the ending of salvation program, that the church age is over, that the doors of heaven are shut. This is absolutely ludicrous. Until the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody has a chance to repent. We are still in the dispensation of grace. Those who hear the gospel and repent of their sins and return to Jesus and follow him, they are all cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God looks at them as pure and holy, even though they have been sinned. They are not saved and pure and holy on their own good works, but by their faith in Jesus, that blood cleanses them. The blood is appropriated onto their lives, and when God looks at them, he doesn't see their sin anymore. Why? Because when Jesus came, he hung on that cross and took the wrath of God in his body for us who believe. Therefore, we are freed from the wrath of God. So for your guest to say that God is judging the churches and that we should get out of the church is absolutely ludicrous. Harold Camping and your guest are interpreting the scriptures with a certain method that I can't remember the name of it, that totally skews the truth. It causes fear in people. I've even heard Harold Camping say to a woman who was so upset that she aborted her child, Harold Camping said that unless your child in the womb heard the message of salvation and repented is lost forever in hell. This is the type of teaching that we do not need. This is not truth. His method of interpretation is wrong. And I want to make one more thing.
All right, go ahead, Terry.
All the cults in this world have been started by this great revelation of one man, that all people should turn from the truth and follow the interpretation of one man. I don't doubt for one minute that Harold Camping was sincere, that he loved Jesus, but he should not have taught. He was not a teacher of anybody because he could not interpret the scriptures properly. And it's very sad. And I just hope that people who are listening, who have listened to Harold Camping and who have listened to this man, will really hear what the Spirit has to say. The Word of God is truth, but this man is skewing it, and I will pray for him. I'm really, really upset. So I hope your listeners will really see what's truth and see what's error.
Well, we're getting a lot of people who are upset, too. Chris, she's not alone.
Well, you know, concerning salvation, and some people may think that, well, how can salvation be over when I can accept Christ at any time and get saved? And the problem is that, again, I'm sorry to keep referring to the church, but they have so many incorrect teachings. The church teaches that salvation is in the hands of man, that you can make a decision for Christ, you can accept him and get yourself saved today, and so the idea that God has ended salvation makes no sense to them, because they don't understand that man could never at any point in history get himself saved. The Bible says that God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And he is the determiner, he's sovereign over those that he would save. And now he is letting it be known through his word that he is sovereign also concerning when he saves. And that there was a day of salvation, and that day of salvation came to a close, and now we're living in the time afterwards, and it actually is fitting in a sense, because the doctrine has impinged the sovereignty of God, the free will doctrine, where man has become the determiner of their own salvation, and so in a sense God, in bringing this judgment, is letting it be known, no, you can never get yourself saved. Salvation has always been under my control. Now I'm sorry that she's upset, or anybody's upset. You know, it's not my intention to upset anyone. My intention only is to share what the Bible says. And I'm, you know, it is upsetting when we finally hear what the Bible does say, because you can't find truth in any church in the world today. No matter what denomination or particular church you go to, you're not going to hear the true word of God. And yet your pastor is a nice guy, and you have a good fellowship there. And so, yes, hearing the church age is over and it's not a place of truth can be upsetting, but I don't know what to do about that, because
will your ministry take out ads again this year and billboards?
Well, we have been advertising on Facebook, and we're looking into some other limited advertisements.
What do you say? You know, judgment is near, or?
Well, same thing I've mentioned here. A strong likelihood
about
that
this
October 7th would be the end,
this
or spiritual judgment began on May 21, 2011, something like
that. Now, what preparations are you doing this time, Chris? Last time you emptied out your 401. What are you going to do now?
Well, I don't have a 401 to empty out.
That's gone.
Yeah, so there's nothing there. I'm just living day by day, as really any of us can do. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And, you know, AA took that slogan and said one day at a time, or they took that from the Bible. And that's all we have is today. And today, I want to serve the Lord and by God's grace, offer up myself as he tells us to do as a living sacrifice. That's what we should be doing with our lives, is seeking to serve him as much as possible.
Do you want to be wrong about this October 7th date?
Well, George, you know, I have children, and I have family, I have friends, and yes, on one hand, you know, my heart breaks, and I'm very sorrowful for anyone who may not have been saved, but I still hope that perhaps God did save this individual, because I don't know what's going on in someone's heart before he shut the door of heaven. So on one hand, I am very sad over the prospect. On the other hand, as you mentioned before, you know, in speaking of the new heaven and new earth, I got kind of excited, and that's the dual nature of the child of God. We do have a desire to depart, to be in that glorious new heaven and new earth where there's nothing but perfection.
Well, we've got 7 months to go, Chris, so we shall see. Thank you so much for being on the program again.